Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Radio Retail with me, your host, William Madison. Radio Retail is your one-stop shop for retail industry news, covering everything from political developments, trade negotiations, consumer trends, insights, and much, much more. This time on the podcast, we'll be talking about the new Omicron variant and the challenges it poses for retailers, potential rent relief bill going through the Commons, as well as some other important developments in the property space. But first, we're talking to James Hardiman, part of our Insights and Analytics team here at the BRC, about Black Friday, consumer spending, and how things are looking in the lead up to Christmas. Hope you enjoy the episode. So I'm joined now by James Hardiman, senior analyst at the BRC as part of our BRC Insights and Analytics team. James, how's it going?
Not too bad, William. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So jumping into things now, we're actually recording this on Black Friday, so we don't have any of the sort of post-Black Friday insights yet for listeners, but it's a critical time for retailers. So how are things looking in the run-up to this Black Friday compared to previous years?
Well, first of all, I guess we should address last year, because that was quite an outlier. Previous years, Black Friday has been sort of building and spreading out into more than just the one day, into more of a week long, or if more than that in some cases, event. But then last year, just to remind everybody who's forgotten, November was in lockdown, like the whole country. And there was looming lockdowns, not very good news on the horizon for Christmas overall and everything like that. So last year, Black Friday wasn't really much of an event. There was online sales and things like that, but just the shape of the sales were really, really in stark contrast to how they've been progressing in the years before. So this year, we're actually starting to see a lot more of a traditional sort of look to it. So you've got that big peak building up. Obviously, I don't have the stats for the main event yet, but the trajectory was healthy growth on last year and much more to what we've seen before. Whether it'll outpace, say, 2019 remains to be seen, but it looks like it, in all likelihood, it will.
Has the economy sort of rebounded now past the point that we were at in 2019?
Well, the economy on the whole, no. GDP is still down on where we were pre-pandemic. Consumer spending, in particular retail spending, it bounced back pretty quickly, mostly because there was little other sort of things to spend money on. You know, you've got the basic cost of living, but other than that, there was no restaurants or pubs or holidays or anything like that to spend money on. So we've seen fairly solid growth since the dark days of the first lockdown. And even the lockdowns that followed, they were nowhere near as severe. And people were still quite happy to spend online and things like that. So the retail sales side has been fairly strong since then.
People were sort of talking about a V-shaped recovery, where people that were able to continue to work during the severe lockdowns were able to save some amount of their money and then, as a result, spent it all after that, or once things started opening up. Do we think that the kind of consumer spending that we're seeing at the moment is still just a continuation of that pent-up spending power that consumers have, or do we think that there is a long-term sustainable element to it?
I think there's still some savings. Like, people have built up a lot of savings. I don't think that's all spent. For one reason, I think that people are going to be reluctant to spend all of their savings because there's still a certain amount of uncertainty in the market. Whether that was moved on from it being purely pandemic driven to now you've got cost of living worries, inflation worries as well. Although inflation worries may not be a good time to hold on to your cash, but still people will be a little bit reticent to sort of spend to the levels they were before. And now you've got rumblings of an interest rate rise as well. So, you know, maybe people wouldn't want to take on as much debt to fund their spending. So yeah, so I think people are still a little bit reluctant.
Yeah, it makes sense. We've obviously been hearing a lot about driver shortages. How has that been affecting retailers during Black Friday, but also, I suppose, leading into what a critical next month?
Retailers themselves have been dealing with this for a while, because you've got a few sort of stages to their sort of logistics problems, if you like. But the news, when the news came out in sort of October time, retailers were well into their preparations for the festive period already. So that's part of the reason why Black Friday sales and the event itself has sort of spread out this year, even to 2 weeks for many retailers, more than previous years. We're already seeing that trend before, don't get me wrong. So it was already spreading to a week. And you had like the sort of a little bit afterwards as well with Cyber Monday and things like that. But this year it really has gone on to 2 weeks minimum. And I think that from what I've heard from retailers and what we've seen in the sales as well, is that sort of helped to spread the burden for the retailers. So you don't have that real big peak of activity when everybody's expecting things the next day and they just want to be able to fulfill those orders. Getting the sales out early means that retailers can then adjust and extend it and spread it out over longer times. So it's less of a burden and customers will get what they want. That's the thing. So they've been preparing for a while.
The biggest question on everyone's lips is consumer spending through till Christmas. Mm. Do you think we're likely to see this sort of strong consumer spending that we're talking about continue on all the way through December?
That's a tricky one. I mean, forecasts are always tricky. If we are truly reverting to the similar sort of pattern of spending from pre-pandemic, what was actually happening then was Black Friday was getting ever bigger and the peak of sales getting ever bigger. And what we would see before would be a trough of spending after that, because a lot of the Black Friday spending was Christmas orientated. So you'd get a trough then and then another peak like in the week before Christmas. But that trough was getting lower and lower. So it was actually affecting spending. It was sort of, they're almost cannibalizing their own sales to a certain degree. Now, this year, we've seen more spending being brought forward. Christmas spending, because of the talk of stock shortages and make sure you get out there to get what you want and all this sort of stuff. So is that going to lead to more of a trough between now and the immediate week before Christmas, where all the unorganized people then go out and do their shopping, myself included? So it could lead to more of a trough. So I think that when we look at it overall, I think spending will be up on 2019 levels the whole festive period, but the next couple of weeks could actually see lower spending than we saw in the same couple of weeks in the run-up to Christmas 2019.
Very, very interesting. Sounds like quite a lot to keep an eye on, to be honest. A lot of uncertainty there. Thank you very much, James. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Our thanks there to James for coming on the podcast. And for any listeners that are interested in keeping up to date with things like consumer trends, footfall and spending data, and a whole lot more, you can find out more by joining our Insight community on brc.org.uk. Turning now to Lara Conradi for a look at what's in the news. And I'm now joined by Lara Conradi from our corporate affairs team. Lara, how's it going?
Very well. How are you?
Very well, very well. So as everyone will be aware, the top news story at the moment is, of course, the Omicron variant and also what this could obviously mean going forward. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 30th of November. So there may well have been more developments by the time the podcast comes out, but we've already seen mandatory masks being brought back on public transport and also in shops, as well as a host of other places, I should say. Obviously, this is going to have an impact on retailers in addition to broader society. Lara, what can you tell us about how members are reacting?
Yeah, so obviously for our members, the safety of their staff and customers is the top priority. So they will do what's best for them. Mm. Retailers are really, really resilient. They've done all of this before. They can do it again. They've shown over the past 20 months or so throughout the pandemic that they can adapt to new government measures. So as before, they will play their part in communicating the new rules through signage on front doors. They will have people on the shop entrances reminding customers to wear a mask. They might offer a spare face covering to those who don't have one, and then also through tannoy announcements in store. The one big concern, though, about all of this is that it could become an additional flashpoint for retail violence. So we've been really, really clear with government that enforcement absolutely must not be on retailers' shoulders. Mm. It has to be a matter for police. As an example, last year in the weeks after face coverings became mandatory, we collected some data and it showed that there was a huge spike in incidents of violence and abuse. So there's just a bit of concern that this could prompt further incidents.
So we're also seeing rising prices in retail at the moment with our shop price index out on Wednesday, which is yesterday, once this podcast gets released. What can you tell us about what's in the index report and how things are developing at the moment?
So our most recent shop price index, so it shows that overall shop prices are increasing for the first time in 2.5 years. So this means that consumers can expect their shopping basket to be a little more expensive this Christmas. So there have been cost pressures for the past few months, which have been mounting, and now these are finally sort of taking hold on consumer prices. So these cost pressures have come mainly from the impact of labour shortages, rising commodity prices, so things like oil, and the rising cost of global transportation. More specifically, food, especially fresh food, which actually saw the highest inflation since 2019, it's also being impacted by rising global food prices. So we know that certain key items such as vegetable oil has doubled in price over the past 2 years, and vegetable oil is used in loads and loads of products. It also looks like dairy wholesale prices are going to be going up, and then this will eventually manifest in consumer prices. And then obviously we know that consumers are a little more stretched at the moment. They're facing higher energy bills this winter, hikes in national insurance. So at the moment, we're just asking government to see if they can help retailers ease some of the cost of the burden on consumers and see if they can help by working with us to find a long-term solution to labour shortages.
So, of course, the other big story is Black Friday, Cyber Monday, which just passed. It seems like this year, Black Friday was, well, the longest it's ever been since I can remember it, with the sales being extended in both directions. What were the big headlines from this year?
Yeah, I've certainly been enjoying the sales. But yeah, so Black Friday and Cyber Monday, they're a really important period for retailers. It helps them refresh their stock, particularly for things like electronics and household appliances, but more often now other products too. But it's equally just as important for consumers. Christmas is obviously a really expensive time of year for many families. So it provides the opportunity for the public to purchase Christmas presents at more affordable prices. We don't yet have the stats on how the sales went. We'll have these in January, but we know that October saw Christmas shopping off to a really strong start. So we imagine that it would have been a very fruitful Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
And for listeners, keep your eyes on brc.org.uk, particularly our Insights Hub, to see any upcoming news. Lara, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Will.
Thanks to Lara for coming on the podcast. We're going to turn now to our conversation with Dominic Curran, our property policy advisor here at the BRC, for a look at what's going on in the property space, including a bill currently being debated in the House of Commons that may provide some rent relief for retailers. So I'm joined now by Dominic Curran, our property policy advisor. That's a bit of a tongue twister here at the BRC. Dominic, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Will. How are you?
Very, very well. Very well. Very well. So for the layman who's listening, it might be important to explain that we have different communities at the BRC. So we tackle various issues that are facing retailers. Dominic, you head up our property community. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that the community does and also what's top of the agenda at the moment?
Sure. So the property community deals with all aspects store related primarily. So when we think of retailers, I guess what most people have in mind is the shop front, and that is largely the sort of focus of the property community. By definition, we would cover things that are relevant to head offices and warehouses and back room sort of things, but primarily it's about the high street or the retail park and the store. And within that, it's not really so much to do with things like layout or marketing. It's really about the nuts and bolts stuff that sits behind a property estate. So whether it's landlord-tenant discussions, property costs, be it rent or business rates or other costs, things to do with planning and any legislation that affects the kind of physical premises. So it might be to do with things like closures and related grants for restarting or for being closed, or looking over the longer term in the future, the sustainability of stores.
And I know that business rates is obviously a big focus for us. Is there anything new going on in that space, or is it sort of same old, us pushing hard, but limited movement from government?
Yeah, it's kind of both simultaneously, which has been frustrating. So we have been campaigning for many years on business rates, which are, for most retailers, the single biggest tax that they pay. for our very large sort of large supermarket retailers, business rates account for pretty much half of their tax bills. So it's a really major cost for them. You know, retail as a sector supplies or pays for about 25% of the entire business rates bill. And the level that business rates have been charged at has been rising at the same time, actually, as rents have been falling. So we've kind of got this increasing disconnect over time between the cost of property and its profitability, if you like. It's a major, major headache for retailers, has been for many years. We've scored a whole series of, I suppose, smaller victories in terms of business rates reform through things like how the tax rate is calculated and what levels of inflation are used to calculate increases. But yeah, you know, we've been campaigning for a much more profound reform for many years now, which sees at its core the end of the requirement that business rates always raises the same amount, because that's really contributed to some bizarre and burdensome tax policies across England. We've campaigned for the overall rate to come down, importantly, and for the administration of the whole system to work better through its appeal system, through the way it's valued. And, you know, we were really quite pleased to see that the government had put business rates reform in their manifesto at the last election. They carried on with the business rates review during the pandemic, which was to their credit. But when they reported in the budget in October this year, the outcome of that review was really disappointing because there weren't really fundamental reforms. In fact, the thing that they trumpeted as their main fundamental reform was to reduce the frequency of or increase the frequency of valuations from 5 years to three, which is good and it's what we wanted, but it's actually a policy that had been in existence before the review happened and which was dropped during the pandemic. And all they did was really just reintroduce an old policy. So it was far from fundamental. And even though there were other more minor reforms, they really don't constitute to anything fundamental. So there has both been a lot of work on this and a lot of changes, and also nothing really fundamental has changed. So we will continue to lobby. That's why I said at the beginning, it's both of the options that you presented to me.
So speaking of legislation, I know there's a commercial rent bill going through the Commons at the moment. For those that don't know, can you give an overview of what's going on and how it affects retailers?
Sure. So basically, we had in the last financial year, obviously during the pandemic, a situation where non-essential retailers were closed for longer than they were able to be open. I think it was 32 weeks of closure at most, compared to obviously 22 weeks of being open. And so in that context, especially where online sales didn't make up for the lack of footfall and the sales made through stores, you had a situation where turnover wasn't particularly high, and yet rents were still due. So in that context where rent liabilities were still falling, you did have the government do some very important things at the outset. So they stopped landlords being able to take properties back from tenants who hadn't paid. They stopped them being able to seize stock through bailiffs. And they also stopped them being able to start proceedings to wind up tenants and basically put them into administration to get their debt. So that was all welcome, but it didn't stop the rent arrears accruing. And we called for a system whereby those arrears would go to arbitration. So any landlord and tenants who hadn't been able to reach an agreement on a new rental payment plan basically went to a compulsory binding process where an independent third party would say, okay, this is what I think is you know, should be paid in the circumstances. And that's more or less, at least at headline level, what is being introduced and is what is in the commercial rents bill that's, as you say, going through the Commons. So what we'll see is the current tenant protections in England being extended to the end of March, after which there will be this process of arbitration, which both parties can go to, or either party can initiate. And that tenant protection will extend for 6 months beyond the, well, 6 months from when the bill is passed, but probably from around the middle of March or to the end of the arbitration process, so that there can be a settlement of all these deals. There's still a lot of detail to work out. And the key thing is that, you know, the bill says that the aim is to preserve viability, and tenants will have to pay rent according to how viable they are. And so there's a lot of detail to work out to make sure that that assessment of viability actually works and is realistic. So, you know, if you've got £9 million in rent arrears and £10 million in the bank, is it realistic to expect all of those arrears to be paid off and maintain the viability of the business? And we don't think so, and hopefully the bill will reflect that. So that's all going through, and hopefully that will see a kind of final resolution of the rent problem that arose, at least in retail, between March 20 and April 21.
So those that listened to the podcast last week will know that we talked a lot about sustainability. I know that's also top of the agenda for the property community. So what are the sort of priorities that you're looking at in the sustainability space that's going to help retailers achieve the target of net zero by 2040?
So back in April 2021, over 75 of our members, large retailers, signed the Climate Action Roadmap, which committed them to net zero by 2040, as you say. And that roadmap has got five, what we've called pathways or ways to achieve that. And one of those is in relation to property. And that splits into two strands. One is about making buildings more energy efficient, and the other is about supporting retailers' ability to procure and generate renewable energy. So it's about the building and then the energy use itself. And the first thing that we've done to, I guess, implement this pathway or to give shape and structure to it is to develop a protocol that we would want to see retailers and landlords using when signing new leases or negotiating new leases. And that protocol is really a set of principles, which I don't think are particularly contentious or hopefully not burdensome too, which really just, I wouldn't even say commit, but which really focus both tenants and both tenants and landlords' minds when thinking about what they really want from a new building or a new lease. And so it's things around, you know, supporting each other to put in energy efficiency measures, whether it's solar panels on the roof or insulation. And there's, you know, there's issues around who pays for that and the impact of that. It's around both agreeing to kind of look positively at how you account for restoring the building at the end of a lease, and in terms of whether you make it, you sort of bring it back to how it used to be in terms of its energy efficiency, or whether you maintain some of the improvements that an occupier might have made. It's about how you support biodiversity on the site, not just in the building, but the kind of whole footprint of the property. And it's about things like how you share data and when you should share data, and, you know, to what purpose. So data and energy use. So it's a whole series of things. You know, it's not some onerous policed measure that, you know, has sanctions attached to it. You know, we don't have that authority or reach, and I think people would bridle at that anyway. But it's really trying to get retailers and landlords on the same page, talking the same language. And it feels like we're at very much the foothills of a lot of this sustainability thinking, at least in a specific property sense. I think there have been people in retailers thinking about sustainability for many years, but it feels like only now, really, with greater public awareness, COP26 focusing minds, that you know, it's become a much more whole industry or whole business approach. And so this is really trying to get everybody at least on the same page, talking the same language, even if the details are still hard to resolve, at least we're all trying to resolve them together. And that's our shared objective. So the protocol's being launched this winter, and it will be followed by further work next year as we try to, I suppose, hone down the slightly broad principles in the protocol into much more tangible things that people can use. So it might be model green leases or green clauses within leases that hopefully can become industry standard, or it might be about just sharing best practice and, you know, showing people what can be achieved through collaborative working between retailer tenants and landlords. So it's the first step of hopefully what will be several to help our members achieve net zero in their property portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. And to reiterate that, I mean, I was involved with some of the events over Climate Action Week, and it was the most engagement we've seen on almost any topic, actually, from our members. So it does feel like there's been a big turning point in the way that retailers are seeing this and approaching it.
It does. And just sort of a little anecdote on that. There's a there's an event called Completely Retail, where essentially people with property, so agents and landlords, and people looking for property, so businesses or retailers, go to this event, and it's a sort of site matching kind of thing, almost a speed dating, if you like. And for the first time, I didn't go to the most recent one, but for the first time in, well, forever, I was told by somebody who goes regularly that sustainability was number one on the agenda and number one on the lips of everybody there in a way that she had never experienced before. So I really do think this has, for the first time, seized the property industry in a much broader, more holistic way than it has done to date. So I think, yeah, it's definitely an area of increasing focus for the next few years.
And well, on that positive note, thank you very much, Dominic, for coming on the podcast.
You're very welcome.
And that is all the time we have for this, the second episode of Radio Retail. I want to thank our guests, as well as you, the listener, for joining me. Not to labour the point too much, but if you would like to find out more about the work that we do here at the BRC, please do visit us at brc.org.uk. You can also connect with us on LinkedIn and Twitter, and we do hope that you join us again next time. Goodbye for now.